Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm going to ask Luke Owen, have you started your timer?
I just started it.
Nice.
Then.
Okay, so this should be a lean 10 minutes. Because yeah. Ollie has to go today. Ollie's going studio shopping later.
Ollie is business today.
Oh, it's not so. It's more like viewing. Mm-hmm. Gonna check out some new premises. Very excited. This is only really a pod swafter thing, an after swafter.
Yes.
That knows about this. We don't talk about our potential studio move on the main channel.
Oh, but, no.
And I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Are you excited to see new studios?
I'm very excited. I'm very nosy when it comes to house viewings. I hate the process and the logistics side and all the paperwork you have to do for moving house. But man, getting to see places is fun.
Well, so there's a house that's just down the road from ours. That's like it's the exact same layout as our house, and they've just got theirs up for sale. I really wanted to go and have a viewing.
Just to see what they've done with the place.
Well, that, because I've looked at the pictures, they've done some really inventive things with that space. I would explain, but you haven't been to my house for a while, so I can't really, like, I think if I could explain it to you, but it doesn't really work. Essentially, they've knocked down one of the walls and made the kitchen look so much bigger, and they've put like a breakfast bar in there. It's really, like, really good use of space. I'll show you the pictures later. Anyway,
nice.
Would you like some...
Well, I was going to, just one more thing. Yeah? Anytime I walk into, like, because this place is unfurnished, it's, you know, completely stripped bare, so you've got a complete blank canvas. No matter how long ago it is since I've seen this episode, whenever I walk in, I have Kramer's voice from Seinfeld just going, "Levels, Jerry. Levels." Which is where he's separated. Even though it's a normal size, you have to kind of duck in just to get this mezzanine level that he's created.
I've never seen Seinfeld.
I've never seen all of it, but I watched, you know, like how we would watch stuff as kids, where you wouldn't binge watch something because no one really bought the entire home release series.
That's because they used to just release like four episodes on VHS.
Yeah, it'd be like a best of.
Well, no, there was an order, but there were only like four episodes, and you get them in six different volumes.
I remember, like,
used to do that.
Yeah, I had so many videos that were just random episodes. Not like four episodes in sequence from these series, but like, here's just four random South Park episodes.
Yeah, right. Someone shared this on Twitter not too long ago. It was a picture of a South Park VHS cover that had three episodes. And I was like, do you remember there was a period of time when we used to buy three episodes of a show? And they'd be like, well, now I own these three episodes. And once you've watched them, you're like, but that's those three episodes watched.
Whereas 20 minutes.
It's 20 minutes, right? Like now, like you buy an entire season if you're still buying them like on physical media, or you're on Netflix where you've got all seasons at your disposal and you don't have to do anything. Like Netflix will just start. You can even skip the intro.
The kids these days, they don't know, man.
They don't
back
know.
In the 90s, we would just, you know, Channel Forward or BBC Two back in the day would put on a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode from, I don't know, season 2, episode 3. And then the next day, it'll be season 6.
Yeah, just show them out of
like,
order.
And then it was also on Trouble, so I'd be watching. It would be all over the place continuity-wise, which probably means why I got into WWE so much, because logic doesn't make sense there.
My nightmare of that was the Spider-Man animated series.
Oh, I could never make head or toe of where it was.
No, because they were a lot of them were always two-parters, but like Kit Live and Kicking would play them all out of order, so you would just get an episode of Spider-Man in there.
And the same with me with X-Men, the animated series. It would be like, okay, I'll get home from school, it's X-Men's on. Oh, okay, we're at the end of this epic Jean Grey saga where all the X-Men are transported to this different place that I've never seen before. I didn't even know the X-Men went to space. What's going on here? And next week, it'll just be a normal episode of the week villain monster thing that they had to defeat. Yeah.
I remember that there was a series of Spider-Man episodes when they had all the other Spider-Men from different universes, including one who was an actor who played Spider-Man in essentially our reality. And I was like, it was the final episode of this run. I'm like, what happened? Like, what did I miss?
Things really got out of hand fast.
Where is Spider-Man? But Stan Lee shows up.
But that's like why TV used to be so episodic, because that's how it was syndicated and transmitted. But these days, technology has forced storytelling to change as a medium, and people do consume 10-hour series in 3 or 4 binge-watching chunks. So you can have these really complex, multi-layered narratives that run over, you know, I mean, look at Game of Thrones. That's a narrative that's run over 70, 80 hours. You're Breaking Bad. And that's a very, like, people, from what I've read, are comparing it to, like, the gold standard of Russian literature in the 19th century, Dostoevsky's and whoever that F else. And it's like, that's really exciting to be living through that period now. Why can't WWE do that? Just a little bit. You're not even close, WWE.
Well, WWE is always 10 years behind the times. They'll get there eventually. It's like golf. Would you like some correspondence? I've got here someone who has got a request from the Masters of the Agony Arts.
Well, yeah, good, yeah.
Well, so this is from Anonymous. Hello, to start off, I'd like to remain anonymous. So my story... This is
vacant.
I can't wait to hear what you think about this.
Can we... rather than use Anonymous anymore, Vacant is
their name. Okay, so this is from Vacant. So my story goes back all the way to the start of this educational year. I was at the introduction week to my university and our group had 2 parents, which are second year students. My mum was really beautiful, fun girl. I was sold immediately, but I didn't want to go for girls when I just started out in a new city. We had a fun week. Our group and things were looking good between me and her. But in a few weeks and months after, we didn't really talk anymore, and I became really insecure about it. I don't know how or if I should approach her again. I see her about 2 times a week when going out, but we never talk. Hope you can help.
It's pretty Oedipal, man. So you just got to kill your dad, I think. That's how that one played out. I had a similar parent structure at uni. I never fell in love with them. Mm. They were third years when I was a first year. Makes sense, because there was like 28 people on our floor, and 2 of those were third years, just to make sure we didn't burn the place down or just all die of starvation. Mm. And alcohol poisoning, even though they drank more than we did. And yeah, it really was those first 2 weeks, the freshers weeks, where they're contractually, that's their job, they have to mind you the most in that bit. They were our best friends and they were out with us all the time, but after that they just went back to their own friends. They've got 2 years of university life that they've got on you. They're also very busy in terms of getting work done, because first year you just have to pass. Very easy.
Which I barely did.
Yeah, and I have to do some work now. And third year, you've actually got to make up for all the 2 years of work, because that's the final grade. So, yeah, to me that sounds like you might have mistaken just a nice friendship and for more than that.
Perhaps, yeah. I would agree with what your assessment of this then. You've got to be careful with these sorts of things about getting too infatuated with someone. I had the exact same thing at university. In my third year, I got really infatuated with a girl who worked at my radio station. And I was like, just crazy about this girl. We hung out a lot. She used to hang out at my place. I'd sometimes hang out with hers. And I was just like, I had it in my head of just like, well, they've been doing this because she's really into me, right? Because I'm into her. But that's not. She was just a very friendly person and we were friends. But I read far too much into it. And then I became very sad when she started dating someone else from our radio station. I was like, well, what's this? Dear God, that I haven't. And I got myself into this real sort of rut with this. But if I'd have just thought about it sensibly at the start, I'd have been like, well, it was never going to happen anyway, was it? Come on, think about it.
The best way to approach these things is... if you're hanging out with a girl loads, like, just treat her as a friend. And if you like her, ask her out before, like, that friendship blossoms into a proper friendship relationship.
Yeah.
And all these infatuations and feelings of love really, like, I mean, you'll probably say this as well. There's like, that kind of love, which is actually quite, like, quite a cynical kind of love, where you just love the idea of someone. Or there's, like, the actual nice, long-lasting, forever kind of love, like you've got with your wife, I've got with my lady partner, where you love them for who they are, and you actually know them so well because you spend the large majority of your time with them.
Exactly.
So, like, that's, like, that's love to me. The thing you experience them, sorry to say, is probably just, like, puppy love. Because you don't know, you don't really know them.
That's exactly it. And I think the friendship route is always where I would kind of, like, my wife and I were friends for years before we actually started seeing each other. I think, like, 4 or 5 years we were friends.
But, like, really super close friends?
Yeah, for a long period of time, really were. Like, because we were all making, like, short films together and stuff. We were, like, we were seeing each other all the time and always hanging out. We were just, like, really, really good friends. And then after she moved to London, we stayed in contact for a long time. Until I changed my number, told her, and she didn't update her phone. And then she was sending me text messages that I weren't replying to because it was to my old number. She's also an idiot.
Oh, so there's actually two different things there. So you did end up with a friend. I ended up with someone I kind of knew but wasn't friends with.
Yes.
So yours was a positive story.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. Why was yours not?
Well, mine was like, I've never really fallen in love with a friend and
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Done it that way because I think that's
Well, I'll tell you let's end it there because we've got a whole SmackDown review to get into, including a bit of a disagreement between Ollie Davis and myself.
No.
Over someone thinking that something on SmackDown was really good and someone else thinking it was really rubbish and stupid and awful.
I think it's just, you know, the phrase star-making performance was maybe overused.
Maybe that was overused. Maybe I did Pritchard that a little bit. But enjoy the show.
Well, we're kicking off with the announcement that Paige will reveal AJ's SummerSlam opponent next week, which is, you know, not as a big a deal as a Brock Lesnar opponent being announced because AJ's there a lot of the time and he defends his WWE title a fair amount, usually against one person for week after week after week with Nakamura. But he faced Rusev. It doesn't seem to be Rusev because they've just moved away from that storyline. Seems to be doing his own Rusev Day breakup thing with Aiden English. There was a segment backstage, wasn't there, where Aiden was trying to ask Lana to put in a good word for the Bulgarian Brute. But
I cannot wait to see that match on the SummerSlam kickoff show.
Ah, no, you don't think, do you?
Rusev versus Aiden English on the kickoff show. Ah. Totally, mate. Aiden English is totally turning heel.
Well, we've got, so, AJ Styles, who's he going to face? There's a few names, but I think we're both going to go for the same guy.
Ty Dillinger, right?
Ty Dillinger, of course. Yeah, he lost today, which means he's probably being positioned for a heel turn and run at AJ.
And also, there's R-Truth made his return, so there's another name.
Big return.
It's a huge return.
Huge return.
I nearly went for my SmackDown review, shocking WWE return. But I went with the Randy Orton thing instead.
I think that's a slightly bigger news. But only just.
Only just.
Because R-Truth has been out for a while. So, Samoa Joe. We're not going to be facetious about it. Which is Samoa Joe versus AJ.
Were you about to say a shame?
Okay, asterisk.
I was going to say, man.
Very much looking forward to Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles. This is a mouth-watering match, which hasn't happened at all in WWE?
I don't think so.
Because they've always been on Raw and SmackDown. They've always been on separate rosters. And they've been kept apart mostly on SmackDown.
Joe was in NXT for a long time while AJ was up on the main roster. Like he bypassed NXT straight to the main roster. So yeah, so maybe they haven't had a match.
So here's my asterisk.
Oh, okay.
I would have preferred Joe to have been built up over the last few months as this absolutely destroying brute force, which he is. But he hasn't really been showcased. In fact, there'll be stretches of weeks where WWE just seems to forget that they've got a Samoa Joe and they call him up just before SmackDown goes on air and says, can you just do one of those mobile phone promos for us?
Yeah.
Cheers, yeah. Send that in. We'll put that just to keep that plate spinning.
Yeah, send it on Dropbox.
So, yeah, last week he wasn't even on the show. Was he on Extreme Rules?
No.
No, he wasn't. So if I would have hoped that AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, if that is their direction, which was reportedly and rumoured to be the plan, that will be a penciled-in match at SummerSlam for a long time. So why haven't you been building Samoa Joe up more and making him a more featured player on TV if that was the plan?
Hey, man, you know, I totally agree with you. I do not think you're wrong. With that said, I do hope it's Samoa Joe because
yes.
A big, big fan of Samoa Joe. And if those two could be given time, like 20, 25 minutes, they could put on a hell of a match. You suck in wind and you're like...
No. That was an excited
suck.
Oh,
right. I thought you meant like... I mean, they're never going
to... I was like, oh, I'm preparing myself. I'm bracing.
I thought you were almost like a builder walking around going, I mean, it's not going to be what you think it is.
No, it was... Oh, boy. Boy, howdy. That sounds good.
Yeah, no, because I think that would be amazing. Likely they'll get 15 minutes. But even so, they could probably get a really good match out of 15 minutes because it's Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles. Like, I've been a big fan of these guys for, you know, a long, long time now. I think they'd have an amazing SummerSlam match. It'll be, you know, won't be the main event. It'll be third from the top or middle of the card or something like that because that's the way they treat the WWE Championship. It is a mid-card title on a dual-branded show. Not the Universal Championship, which is never around.
It's like what the Intercontinental title used to be.
Yes,
it?
Yeah, pretty much.
On
dual-branded shows.
I don't think it's just the match that's going to be good. I think this would have a cracking build.
Yeah, totally.
Because Joe just goes into another level when he's put in a good position. He just, you know, just needs to be put there.
Yeah.
Like, look at the Great Balls of Fire build for Brock and Joe last year, which was just meant to be a one-and-done thing. Joe got so hot... That feud is largely responsible for turning around the ratings around that time last year, gave them so much momentum going into SummerSlam, and he was added into the four-way main event off the back of it.
Absolutely, but there is one more name that we could possibly discuss as a potential candidate for AJ Styles' WWE Championship contender.
Well, I've got two.
At SummerSlam. You've got two, have you?
Well, I've got three, but none of them's really that serious.
Which are the other ones?
Rusev. Yeah. Because they'll just do the same thing again.
Mate, he's got his kickoff show match. He's going to be busy with that, lad.
And Daniel Bryan.
He's going to be busy with The Miz.
But, yeah, but maybe they'll keep that spinning in the background too.
I think The Miz, he says that he's more than likely re-signing, but if he's not re-signing in September, they're going to want to do that match before he goes.
Yeah, so Brad Shepherd reported Bryan had signed a 3-month extension and there's 2 years on the table after that.
Mm.
Whereas Dave Meltzer has reported since, nope.
No, there's been no movement on that. And I think Brad Shepherd has even gone back on it and said, like, oh, I might have misheard.
Mm. Mm. And the last one was Almas.
And that's the name I was going to bring up as well. Because Almas had a great showing on SmackDown this week. I got, you know, you both got some tweets from SWAF Nation members before SmackDown went on air because Paige announced on Twitter that the future of SmackDown Live has been asking for a match. He's been asking for a big match, like we all have, and he's going to get it. And he had a match tonight against AJ Styles. It was going to open the show, and we all went, hey, just before I went to bed, I was like, hey, lovely stuff. After months and months of doing nouts, and when you were on the show, you were still doing nouts, this is a big old match to showcase Almas. So that's part one of this. Part two of this is that this match was designed to put Almas over in defeat and make him look like a credible star.
I think that was their intention, and I think it worked as well, but not as good as it could have done, because Almas tapped out.
Nelly over here.
Almas tapped out so quickly because AJ had been working over the leg. But I didn't really see the bulk of AJ working over the leg because that came in the commercial break shrink screen that I didn't see. So when Almas tapped out at the end, I was like, oh, okay, that was a bit quick and, you know, no Zelina Vega interference or anything. That's a bit of a shame. And it was only after the fact reading other reports that people were like, oh, AJ was working over the leg. You just didn't see it as TV viewers at home. So I thought that was a bit of an oversight. But at the end of it, I was worried this was just going to be AJ beating an opponent of the week. But at the end of it, I do think it brought Andrade into that mix,
yeah,
which I'm very happy about.
What I really liked about this match is that it was, I thought the calf crusher spot, when he locked in the calf crusher, it came out of nowhere. And Almas tapped out to it. But it was almost like they told the story, it was like, if this had been a different day, that it could have been Almas's. It could have been Almas's win because he got some great near falls throughout the match. AJ is such a great babyface and such a good wrestler that he can make people look incredibly make people look credible, even though he's beating them. I think he's such an incredible worker.
Oh yeah,
and Almas is
one of the best in the world.
Absolutely, and Almas is so good as well. I thought this was a stonking and brilliantly put together. Let's get this guy over. Because the other side of this as well is that when Almas came out, he got zero reaction. Absolutely no one gave a flying F about this guy coming out to face AJ Styles. Not a pop. There wasn't even a buzz in the arena. It was almost deafening silence. By the end of this match, they were popping for his near falls. They were popping for his moves. It was a star-making performance for him. And as you said, bear in mind, for the live crowds, it's the sort of match that can say, like, if he comes out next week and be like, I also want to be in this title contention picture, you'd be like, yeah, cool, because you did take AJ to the limit the week previous.
I agree with you, and I do think this has elevated Almas, but I wouldn't call it a star-making one. Look at the last NXT TakeOver show, and Martin Stone and Oni Lorcan. That's a
very different thing. But dude,
that's a star-making performance.
That's like a 30-minute tag team match on a TakeOver show. This is a 10-minute TV match?
Exactly.
In the TV time capability you've got, this is probably the best you could do with that.
But you're arguing for my point. This wasn't a star-making performance makes it sound like the NXT TakeOver thing. I understand they put limitations on it, but... You know, to have that means it isn't a star making performance.
I don't think the two are fairly comparable. Because that's like saying, like, well, I mean, if this was on a WrestleMania, it might have been different. Like, it's a totally different argument.
It's saying it's not a star making performance.
I think if Almas comes out next week and he says, like, I want to be in a title picture, I want to have the championship match at SummerSlam, it makes him go, like, yeah, totally, I could see you having that SummerSlam championship match. Therefore, this worked. It made Almas not just a guy who's having crap matches, well, not crap matches, having nothing matches with Sin Cara or beating jobbers. This was a guy of elevating a guy from jobber status up into the main event level.
But I agree with you that it's elevated him, but I don't think it's shot him all the way to the main event.
I think it did.
But really?
Totally.
You would say Andrade is now a credible main event in the mix guy.
He took the WWE Championship to the limit.
But it wasn't to the limit. I don't know. AJ sound barely, like a WWE commentator.
AJ barely, like, you've got to, like, look at it in the age, like, for the WWE vision, really, haven't you? Like, and this is... Like,
but so are you Bruce-ing, or are you
Lukin? Maybe I am Pritchard-ing this. Maybe I'm just looking at this being like, this is a match I really wanted to see. Maybe this is, like, a performance I really wanted to see. I've been wanting to see Almas go into this role. Maybe I am just being completely naive about this, and I'm willing to admit that I am. But I thought this was the sort of match that made the guy look, hey, he was just feuding with Sin Cara, now he can be in main event matches against a Samoa Joe, against the guest person, against X person. I thought it worked.
I thought it was a step on that ladder. A rung on that ladder.
He's not going to turn TV ratings around. I'm not saying or anything, but then again, neither are Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch.
No, but like in terms of winning over the crowd,
I think he totally won over the crowd. But as I just said,
he got a zero reaction
when he came. Okay, but say that though, Danny Burch didn't get a reaction when he came out at NXT the other week.
But
so
at the
that,
end,
so they, you can't say that was a star-making performance, can you?
Well, it's just at the end of that taping. At that match, everyone was up and like giving a standing ovation to those two guys in the ring.
Cool.
That didn't happen here. To not even. A remote degree. They were just like, yeah, that was good. Like, when he did the... I am sounding down on this.
You really are.
But it's only because you framed it as this star-making performance for Almas. I thought this was really good. There is a lot of work that still needs to be done for him.
I disagree. I think that the WWE audience and the WWE mindset is so, like... sort of narrow-minded. They kind of like train your brain to kind of forget everything that happened previously. That's almost like this is a quick turnaround thing. This is the opposite of what they did with Jinder, where Jinder went from a jobber to WWE champion. It was like, that's a bit soon. But this was like what we were saying. If you'd have built Jinder up in that performance and then he won the title, and then you're like, cool. So you kind of like take him on this journey. This is, I think, building him up into that journey.
Do you think you would be saying this if you didn't have the NXT knowledge behind you?
Yeah, totally.
Really?
Absolutely.
You didn't know who Almas is. You only watched SmackDown. you don't even know what NXT is.
Yeah, so, well, it's where we always said about John Cena's United States Championship open challenge that he used to do, when he used to, like, mid-cards would go up against him and they'd have these awesome matches. You're like, that guy is so much more over now than he was before that match. Almas is now so much more over than he was before this match.
I think he's more over. It's just like, okay, we're just going to keep butting heads here.
Yeah. Perhaps star making was a hyperbolic phrase.
Okay. But it's weird because as this match started, I was like, what? This is classic WWE. Me and Luke are here saying we want Andrade in a better position. So, like, okay, main event. You know, like, here he is getting a shot of the champion. I was like, are you giving us too much too soon now?
Oh, my God, you are the worst.
Hey.
You are the worst.
You've got to hear me out. But by the end of it, I was like, you know what? This worked really well. This was a good decision.
Man, you're
instant reaction. I was taking you on my journey.
You are exactly what YouTube comments think I am.
Star making. So we're both going to pick Samoa Joe, though.
Yes, because Samoa Joe.
No matter how much we just talked about Almas. Yeah.
Dig, diggity, dog.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The show opened with a video package recap of Nakamura and Hardy, which, in the WWE video package way, made it seem a lot more epic.
Well, yeah, Brian Alvarez made an excellent point on Twitter today, which we're going to talk about when we get to the main event of this show, was that if they had done this SmackDown main event show on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, there wouldn't have been so many people going like, that was a bit of a lame duck pay-per-view.
Mm.
Because that would have been like a really cool... Because Orton looked so much better here than he did on the pay-per-view, as did Hardy and Nakamura.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
As much as I loved that low-blow finish, mm-hmm. though, I agree. Yeah. So this started off with a Jeff Hardy promo in the ring, so he gets his whole Jeff Hardy entrance, and he's got the face paint in. Kind of looked like a frog. Do you think?
My big takeaway from this is that this might be the shortest opening promo in wrestling history. You know, like when wrestling promos to open up shows go like, this is the first 10 minutes of this show sorted out then. By like 4 minutes into the show, this was over. And I'm like, hey, more of this, please. This is great.
It was more entrance than words, yeah, sure. Right? It was kind of like, well, I guess Roman Reigns and that Undertaker promo where he just didn't say anything for ages.
Yeah.
That would be the most concise point, but in terms of like not getting paid by the minute, he's in and out. But Jeff Hardy's still got this weird yelping thing going on at the top of the ramp when he comes down. It's like, woohoo, yeah! And then at the end of the promo, just goes woo, but not like, in a Ric Flair way.
He's
just
like, have a great night. It was more or less like enjoy the show. But I enjoyed this. It was a short promo. He kind of like. you know, made references to appeal to the smart fans by saying delete and obsolete and broken and all this sort of stuff. And I wonder if they are going to be leading to a lot of people are speculating they might do a Brother Nero style Jeff Hardy on SmackDown away from the Woken Hardy gimmick over on Raw. But, you know, whether they do or not, I don't really mind that much. But what I really liked about this is then cut to Nakamura backstage,
yes.
who cuts this promo calling him a sad clown. And now he's got my new favourite catchphrase of Nakamura, which is God bless America. Mm. And he just skulks away. It really made me laugh.
He's so good. Yeah, Nakamura was joking about Hardy crying. And he's just got such this amazing villain face now.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and yeah, Rene held a microphone.
Yes.
And then we got the AJ Styles and Andrade Cien Almas match, which we won't get into again. And then this is when we got Aiden English walking backstage. He's looking very sheepish. And he asks a non-Russian Lana.
Yeah, I don't know where she is week to week. Mm. It's almost like, is Nia Jax a babyface or a heel? Is she Russian or is she CJ Perry?
What is the function for her in this story? We will change her character
to fit
this square hole.
Yes.
And Aiden is asking Lana to apologize to Rusev for him because he was the guy in the AJ Styles title match at Extreme Rules who exposed the turnbuckle that led to Rusev's loss behind Rusev's back. He thought he was helping him, but he ended up cussing in the match.
Certainly did, yeah. And he said that he's always had his back and all he wants is a second chance. But Lana says to him, "Is like, I'm not sure you're the best thing for Rusev." And I do think this is going to be leading to an Aiden English heel turn while staying as a heel so Rusev can go babyface.
Yeah, she said
four months too late.
She'll take it under consideration, Lana said.
Yeah, which is I wonder if that a jab at the Shane McMahon thing? Remember when he was like duly noted when people were chanting Rusev Day?
Oh yeah, I've still got hope that they'll stay together as a unit and just go babyface.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to as well, but I think they're sowing the seeds. Trouble is brewing.
It's been too long. Yeah, this is like the third time it's been tensiony.
Yeah, because they were teasing this tension when Lana showed up with her Happy Lana Day t-shirt, but that then went nowhere because she got into a dancing feud with Naomi.
Do you want to talk about this next bit? I bet you're over the moon.
Over the Ember Moon?
Yeah.
So Becky Lynch beat Mandy Rose in a quite short match, tapping her out again. Commentators still putting over this idea that she's been tapping out the SmackDown women's roster. And this is just another victory on Becky's belt. And then she cuts a promo afterwards, giving some mic time, to be like, hey, I think I now deserve a title shot. Good promo. And a valid point. She's been winning loads. She's on a bit of a winning streak. She's calling herself Becky Balboa.
I mean, it's winning against the same two people.
And the Iconics.
And occasionally the Iconics, yeah. Absolution and the Iconics.
Absolutely. But, you know, she said all of this. Cut backstage. Paige was watching this on the screen like a normal person because you couldn't see them. I mean, we assumed she was watching this promo because we couldn't see the TV. How am I as an audience member supposed to know what she's watching?
I was really confused.
So confused.
I thought, like, are these two segments connected?
I thought she might be watching something from that film that she's starring in. Maybe she was watching that clip that she kept showing over WrestleMania weekend.
Paige, yeah. She's just watching bits from Fighting With My Family.
Yeah, or she was watching anything on the WWE Network. She might be watching that Table for Three episode with Pritchard and Bischoff that I'd imagine is awful to watch. But Paige
is putting Jim Cornette in that little threesome as well.
Oh, it's worse, it's JBL.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me, that just sounds like half an hour of utter nonsense. That sounds like it would be virtually unwatchable. But anyway, Paige is watching backstage. Carmella walks in and she brags about the fact that she's beaten Charlotte twice and she's beaten Asuka twice, which seems so damaging to both of those people. And Paige says that she's going to make a match next week for Becky Lynch and Carmella. If Becky can win, then she'll get a championship match at SummerSlam.
So we got the old, if you can beat the champion in a non-title match, you get to face the champion in a title match. I never like that.
No, I'm not the biggest fan.
Because then you just do the same, you know, you've got the same thing twice. Wouldn't it be better if you're building up the title holder and then you're building up the challenger independently and then they finally clash at the pay-per-view and they're both strong? No one's lost to either.
Well, I think we're going to get some Ellsworth screwiness next week.
Do you think Ellsworth is around?
Well, that was the rumour, wasn't it? That Dave Meltzer reported that Ellsworth isn't really under contract with them at the moment. He's just doing sort of like a per-appearance thing. But I wonder if, because he's got all the history with Becky already, like from his previous run, and they've got, you know, he's been teamed up with Carmella, he's been a thorn in the side for the SmackDown Women's Division, whether they are going to do some sort of either a three-way at SummerSlam or a handicap match of Carmella and Ellsworth against Becky Lynch.
You know what we should probably start considering as well? With the build-up to SummerSlam now. The road to SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. The beach concourse to SummerSlam, to keep it more thematically consistent. Is there's usually a superstar shake-up the night after.
No, there's an NXT call-up. They didn't do the superstar shake-up until after.
Did they not do that?
No, there was rumours they were going to and they didn't. But they do NXT call-ups. Which is
so
amazing.
They did the draft.
Which is amazing to think, because we've only just had a load of NXT call-ups and it feels like they've only just started doing something with them.
Mm.
And we're going to get some more.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. There was no. It was just Bobby Roode appeared, didn't he? A wild Bobby Roode.
Yep.
Then Asuka as well appeared a few
that was
weeks
towards
later.
Yes, it was. It was a TLC, I think she debuted or whatever it was.
So, okay, maybe. Okay, shut up, Ollie.
Well, I mean, my takeaway from this, aside from the fact that A, Becky's getting a push, hey, this is brilliant, she'll probably get a title shot at SummerSlam, it really says a lot about the booking of Asuka when her name was barely mentioned on this show.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate.
Wasn't it just?
I mean, get her back to Raw, I guess. It's weird how SmackDown can... You don't think of SmackDown as a show that kind of ruins talent, but in that women's division, they really are sacrificing all to Carmella.
Yeah, God, and to Carmella of all people as well.
Hey, she's blonde.
Yeah, I guess so. So, backstage, speaking of wild things appearing, a wild R-Truth appeared.
Biggest news of the show should have kicked off with it.
Pretty much. R-Truth is... I guess back.
I missed him.
He did some comedy with Ty Dillinger. Kind of walks in, like, and Ty Dillinger thinks that he's saying hello to him. He thinks he's talking to him, but R-Truth isn't really saying things to Ty Dillinger.
So he's saying, what?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
And then Ty walks off and turns around and he's on his... he's got an earpiece in because he's on his phone. He's like, oh, I'll speak to you later, Mum. Hey, Ty, come back. And then it was...
I said something, not Samoa Joe, but I watched it three times. I can't figure out what he meant to say.
I have no Scooby-Doo.
It's like, I said Shmama Nama, not Samoa Joe. I'm like, Samoa Mama, what? Shlam?
I have no idea.
Did he say Shama Shlam?
But either way, this led to a Samoa Joe-Ty Dillinger match, which Ty like attacked as soon as the bell started, and they kind of brawled to the outside a little bit. Joe locked in the clutch, and he won. Short match.
Yeah. Joe, I mean, this was a... Because Ty looked good, because he went straight for Joe. And I don't feel like... Because, you know, Dillinger's at that certain level. And he just looked like a plucky babyface who's going to take on the main eventer bully. But ultimately, the main eventer bully is Samoa Joe, so he's going to kill you. And even though Joe only got the last 10% of the match, it was a short match, and Joe looked really good in it, just choking him out. So I thought this was very effective.
Yes.
And, you know, potentially, this is the start of the build... For Joe versus AJ.
Yeah, and on that as well, with like, although Ty Dillinger was getting a lot of shots in, it wasn't like Dillinger was dominating. He was just getting lots of shots in, and Joe was taking them and being like, oh, get away.
Godzilla swatting a fly.
Exactly, sort of batting him away, then locked in the clutch to finally put him down. And Ty did a great tap out spot as well, where he was just like, it was like last bit of energy to tap out. We then got The Miz holding a eulogy or a funeral for Team Hell No. And he came out with some coffin bearers and they had this little table with a mannequin head, which was wearing the Kane mask and hair. And he had pictures of them in the ring and he came down. But I really, really liked about this is that the first thing he said was like, tonight is not about my reality TV show, Miz and Mrs., starting on July 28th on USA Network. Nor is it about me being in the celebrity baseball softball game where I was MVP. No, tonight's not about that. I just thought it was really great.
It was a great way to open this segment, and he delivered it perfectly.
So good.
And if you watch this segment back, when he says the Mr. and Mrs. bit, the crowd pop, because it's just so well delivered. Like, way, you made a good joke.
I loved this.
And Miz walking down to the ring, very, you know, sour face, because it's a somber occasion, this eulogy. And he's even shaking the hands of fans as he goes down.
Like, pretty sad. Like, it is sad, yes.
Yeah, yeah, like really he would at a sort of funeral.
Absolutely, yeah. But he said that it's all over for Team Hell No, and he asked for people to stand up.
Even quotes NSYNC.
Yes, he does. Yeah, it's time to go bye, bye, bye.
Yeah.
And he asked the crowd to stand up and give them a moment of silence, and then they don't. Instead, they start chanting yes. And he was like, in hindsight, a yes chant would have been more appropriate.
Yeah,
I really liked that. And then he says that, and this was a great line where he said, "Let's be honest, Daniel Bryan's return since his retirement has been a complete bust." And I was like, yep, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, Miz. Yeah, absolutely, you're not wrong.
It's been okay.
Yeah. And okay really is the highest praise you could possibly give it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the comeback you would want for a guy who's well past it and coming back after, you know, when he's 60.
Yeah.
You know, put him in a nostalgia tag team with a guy who can do the work. Put him in like a little feud with a big guy.
Yep.
But just nonsense
rather
stuff.
Than why we got multiple shows of him and Big Cass and that WrestleMania tag team match.
Forgotten about the Big Cass.
Oh, mate,
just forgot that was a thing.
Months and months of that.
I liked how he framed it all around. It's like a greatest hits comeback tour and no one wants to hear it.
I love that. No one's buying the album. And Daniel Bryan's music hits and all the pallbearers all of a sudden start like taking off their shirts because they're all NXT wrestlers, I guess.
It's a ruse.
It's a ruse. But he comes out from the blindsides Miz and he attacks him from behind. Miz escapes, but he lays out one of these coffin bearers. It was brilliant. And it was like he just got up onto the turnbuckle and he looked mean at Miz and Miz looked mean back at him. And I was like, this is a solid opening chapter to this build towards SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Loved. I really enjoyed this.
Absolutely no complaints. We've got to be, right? We're finally getting Bryan versus Miz. It's one of the best told stories over multiple years in WWE. But, like, both guys are over in the way they should be over. Miz, yep. as a we love to hate him, and Bryan as we just love to love him kind of way. WWE's hand has been forced by Bryan's retirement to keep this drawn out. And they did, credit to them, this wasn't the first thing that they rushed Bryan back into. They've held it off until the big SummerSlam payoff. Really good stuff. And to my knowledge, this is the first time Bryan has struck Miz in that run-in. Because in the only other time I can think of was in that terrifically booked gauntlet match.
Oh, yeah.
Where Miz just ran in on an already knocked out Bryan, hit his finisher and won.
Yeah. I forgot about that. So, but
I don't want to see them get physical again until SummerSlam. It's just got, and the promos are going to be amazing.
I was going to say, WWE, if they could do one thing brilliantly, it's a video package. They're going to be able to put together an amazing video package. Because you go all the way back to Bryan in NXT when Miz was his mentor.
Yeah.
So like,
forgot about that, how far back it goes.
It goes
actually.
Back. Bryan's very first day in WWE was with The Miz. So it's like this wonderful story. His first,
they have lucked into this.
The first bit of gold Daniel Bryan captured was off The Miz. There's so much story you can tell from there, including things like Miz then going on to become a main eventer, Bryan going off in this direction, and then Miz going in this direction, and Daniel Bryan going on to be a main eventer, and all this stuff. There's a really lovely story you can tell within this video package.
Yeah.
That's going to capture, like, you know, 10 years worth of storytelling.
And what I really hope is, because both guys can do comedy and serious at the same time. I know, like, you get Miz, serious. I think it's kind of easy to forget those talking smack promos he would do.
I was going
to
say, that talking smack promo was one of the best things.
That's what has turned the Miz around in the last 2 years. That's really pushed him into what one of the most beloved guys from fans like us. He's just such a solid performer.
And it made talking smack a must-watch show.
Yeah, like, him and Daniel Bryan.
Like,
yeah.
Prior to that, Talking Smack was like, oh, you should watch it, because they some people did some really good promos on there, you know, because it's unscripted. You kind of go, the characters get to do a little bit more. But that Daniel Bryan and Miz moment, that was like, you know, it made news. When people were like, you need to watch Talking Smack, because the promo that Miz cuts is so good. And then after, and I think that's what Talking Smack really built itself on then, was trying to do these sort of moments to make you want to tune in and watch it. I really do think that WWE getting rid of that was a massive error. Do think it was a massive error.
Or at least they should have incorporated it into the main SmackDown show.
Absolutely, yeah.
So Miz can do the comedy. I think there's some scope for a total Bella's Ball S-word revival.
Yes.
With the Daniel Bryan and Brie side of things. And they can be like, oh, birdie, you're so cute. And just like make fun of them that way. Go after Daniel's family.
Yeah.
And then in the 2 weeks before SummerSlam, you flick that switch, go full on serious mode. And yeah, I can't wait.
And not only that, but you can have the Miz and Maryse doing skits of total Bella's. And you can have Daniel Bryan and Brie doing skits of Miz and Mrs. and do it that way instead.
Yeah,
so you do that, as you said, like, there's sort of 2 weeks of comedy, and then 2 weeks of serious, get serious, son, like Austin and Bret Hart. you know, and just and do it that way. I think that'd be really cool.
Unless, I've just thought,
yeah,
Ms. and Mrs. is debuting soon. Are we going to get a mixed gender tag match?
What, at SummerSlam? Oh, I didn't think of that. It's WrestleMania all over again. Oh, but Daniel Bryan can't propose this time. We can't get that proposal in the middle of the ring. Oh.
I mean,
don't jinx it now.
I was so excited. And as we were talking about that, I thought, oh, no, they could do it. You know, if that could work, though, if that is like the first, like you said, the first chapter, and then you get the huge payoff at Survivor Series. But me personally, I think that would be harder to do. I think this is the better, the straight way is the way to do it.
I think we should heed the words of Daniel Bryan in his Gorilla Position interview. What in the last few years has made you think that WWE can do long-term storytelling?
Let's have hope. Kofi Kingston taking on Eric Young next for a pretty decent match.
Yeah, well, I thought this was the total opposite to the Styles and Almas match, in that while that one was all about let's get Almas over in defeat, this match did not get Eric Young over, even though he won.
In victory, yeah that's because, an interesting point.
Because Kofi, like, more or less took the whole match, and the only reason he lost is because of Sanity interference, which does nothing for Eric Young, it does nothing for Sanity, and it does nothing for Kofi either. Mm. So I thought this was a bit of a dud. It was a good match, like, the wrestling, the in-ring action was good, but in terms of what I guess it was set out to accomplish, it didn't really work for me.
Yep, I agree with that. But I think I enjoyed the match a bit more. So I was.
Well, Kofi's so good.
Yeah, he had some really good spots as well. This I think it was a belly to belly off the top rope, which he just hopped up onto the top rope for.
Because he whipped Eric Young into the corner, and Eric Young does his big flip over where he like flips and then starts walking along. And he walks across and he started climbing up to attack. And look, quick as a cat, Kofi was already up there to grab him and did this belly to belly. And he did a wicked flip dive over the referee onto Sanity as well. Some really nice spots. It just it didn't accomplish what it set out to do.
Yeah, and it was Dane punching Kofi behind the referee's back that Eric Young managed to capitalize.
No, it was even better than that. It was Dane throwing Xavier Woods into Kofi Kingston against the
ropes. Is that what
happened? Yeah, so Eric Young was going to throw Kofi Kingston out of the ropes. At the same time, Dane was throwing Woods against it. The two collided, and that's
cool.
How he hit the ring.
I missed that.
Really well timed.
That is cool. And then we got main event time just before the commercial break. Nakamura was just looking into the camera with the WWE United States Championship in the foreground, looking like an evil mastermind. It was brilliant.
Yep.
And then we got Jeff Hardy looking like a frog again. And then, a pretty decent match for the main event. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really like this. Commentators were putting over that Hardy's been having a lot of knee issues as of late, which have been coming out from live reports at WWE house shows. And it's weird as well, because there are times you're like, you can tell that Hardy's been working injured, because some of the comeback spots he did were very slow. I mean, when he does like his wishbone leg drop thing he does when he holds legs, he really only did it off one leg. Like, usually he jumps up with both, and he sort of like just jumped with one and then put both legs down. It was a very slow comeback.
Mm.
But credit to him, he still did the whisper in the wind, he still did the twist of fate, he still did the swanton bomb. He can turn it on when he needs to, when he needs to hit those trademark spots.
It's an interesting turn of phrase. It's almost like you can turn it on, or is he just turning pain off? I think he's got like that mentality where he's like, yeah, I'm wrestling now. And he probably just can't even feel it. He's just like,
maybe, bum, bum, bum. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you look at the stuff the guy's done throughout his career, you've got to have that ability to just go, yeah, I'm not just going to ignore all the pain and fear in my body right now, because I'm a daredevil madman.
And Jeff had this match won. He hit the twist of fate. He hit the swanton. Ref was about to count three, but all of a sudden, Randy Orton from out of effing nowhere pulls Hardy out of the ring for a DQ.
Yeah. And that was a really good moment. I thought that was...
I thought it was really well shot.
Because I thought he had it won as well, or like, even if he didn't have it won, it was a good near fall. And yeah, Randy pulled him out.
Yeah,
it keeps that stuff going.
Really good back and forth action, actually. And I loved this final moment of this show. I thought this was really cool, because Orton... definitely 100% a heel at this point, we're saying.
It's just Randy Orton doing Randy Orton things.
I know. As some might say. But this is one... he was acting like a total heel here. This wasn't Randy Orton being a Randy Orton dick.
Nah, he's a tweener, man.
This is Randy Orton being an evil heel. He's beating down Jeff Hardy, and he's like holding him by the face, and he's screaming at him. He's like, you want to know why I'm attacking you? I'm not going to tell you. You're going to find out soon.
And, vintage. And, vintage Randy.
And Nakamura Randy. Is on the other side of the ring holding his belt being like, uh-oh,
yeah.
this man is very scary. And he's like, Orton is screaming like, where's Nakamura? Because Nakamura's legged it by this point. He's like, where's Nakamura? And he gets Hardy and he puts his ear inside Hardy's flesh tunnel and he starts pulling at it. I was like, oh, I don't need to touch the
break. You said ear. You put, it's like, his finger. You said Randy put his ear into Jeff's flesh tunnel, which is just a weird sentence.
I mean, that's probably a fetish for it, though.
Yeah,
it's probably like a Craigslist.
His finger.
He put his finger. I mean, this also sounds like it could be on Clips for Sale. Like
finger up his flesh tunnel.
Put his finger through his flesh tunnel. Started yanking it. It was a bit gross.
The flesh tunnel, by the way, is the piercing, the large piercing in the lobe of the ear.
Yeah.
It was an amazing spot. I've never seen that kind of thing. Just such a small thing, a small detail, and it makes you wince. Like, ooh.
Oh, it's gross, that. Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, Kevin Owens gets chucked off the top of a cage, goes through the announcer's table. I'm like, that was a cool spot. I don't wince. But I see this, I'm like, ooh, that looks like it really hurts.
Yeah.
And we rag on WWE's production and Kevin Dunn for their continuous shots of the crowd because it just never, well, very rarely works. However, here, they absolutely nailed it because when Randy Orton was pulling that ear, it cut to the crowd and there was a woman looking horrified, holding her own ear, being like, oh, just doing the exact same thing I was doing, wincing and being like, oh, that looks really painful.
Yeah, totally.
So then when you cut back to Randy Orton and Nakamura, you're like, sorry, Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy, you're like, I feel that pain even more because it's emphasized my own viewing perception of this through seeing, you know, Greek theatre they would call it like a chorus member, just to emphasise what the audience is feeling. Really good angle, really yeah. good old school heel Memphis territory style beat down. Loved it. And really good.
Orton's screaming, where's Nakamura? He can't find him. So he throws Hardy onto the table and he drags him over. Agents and referees run down and he gives the draping DDT onto the floor. I mean, I said this in the review. It'd be interesting to see what you think about this particular sentence. I think this three-way feud is possibly one of the best things in WWE right now, if not the best thing in WWE at the moment. I was trying to think if there's anything on Raw that I'm enjoying more than this three-way feud.
It's a big, big claim. Let's go through things. There's, of course, anything Seth Rollins does, I'm into.
But it's not Seth like, Rollins
well, yeah, it
in
hasn't though. Got a storyline. I was going to say the same about Drew, but that's hasn't got a storyline. So although, like, yeah, individual performers very much into.
Maybe Ronda.
This is the best. Yeah, but I'm into Ronda. I'm not so much necessarily into the whole Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, Natalia side of things.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? This is the thing where all people are connecting, but I don't see Jeff. To me, this was from what someone reported, that Ticket Drew, who's had a few scoops recently. He said Jeff's out now. Jeff's taken
it's
some
like an
time
injury
off.
Angle.
Yeah, like all the ear, got to have a surgically repaired ear.
Well, no, the DDT as well. But I also wonder if this is going to lead to a triple threat feud. Maybe after, like, if you just do Nakamura and Randy at SummerSlam, but you can still, like, Hardy can come back and you can, like, build it around a three-way feud instead. Because at the moment, it's Nakamura and Orton is heel versus heel.
Yeah,
but when
yeah,
you've got Hardy in there, you've got, like, the plucky baby face. It just depends on whether Hardy is working hurt and how hurt he is.
Mm. If I didn't know anything and I saw this, I would go, well, Nakamura is going to have a US feud with someone else, like a mid-card babyface guy, and Hardy and Orton are going to feud. Because that's like a big time SummerSlam match. These, you know, because the WWE legend status of them both. But yeah, I really feel like Hardy's going to go away for a bit.
Mm.
So I don't know where they're going, but I'm very interested.
I want to see next week.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the cliffhanger angle. That's all you can ask for.
Absolutely,
it's the best thing
yeah.
a wrestling show can do, really. And the only other thing we've noted, which is probably the clearest thing that this is not Randy Orton just doing Randy Orton things in a tweener style. No RKO.
Second appearance now since he's returned and not hitting the RKO, which is what the fans want to see, because it's become a babyface move.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not doing it. So I think this 100% is a heel turn.
Mm.
And I'm all for that, as we were saying on the Extreme Rules review show, that Orton's so much better as a heel. And he enjoys himself when he's a heel as well, because Randy Orton is like, if he's not enjoying what he's doing, he doesn't put any effort in whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the gender feud.
So what did you give this episode of SmackDown?
Smacktastic, mate. Really enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed the Alma stuff more than you did, because I thought it was really, really great, whereas you just thought it was great.
Yeah, that's it. I thought it was smacktastic to the show. I feel.
Well, dude, it's the Woken Matt Hardy thing that he did at his compound, whatever it was, back in December or January, wherever it was. When I said it was fine, it was 3 out of 5. But because everyone said it was a 5 out of 5, I looked so much
fine
worse.
Fine is different to I really enjoyed it.
My point is, me saying it was fine, but because you were saying it's a 5 out of 5, and everyone else was saying it was
a five out of five.
People were then turning on me saying, like, well, you just hated it. But I didn't. I thought it was fine. It's the same thing here. Because I really liked it, it makes you seem negative on it when you're not. You're really praising of it. It's just not as praising as someone else's.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Got a couple of Rusev Hayes for
Rusev
you.
Rusev Hay.
Our first one from Tom O'Brien. Greetings and salutations, good sirs. I have a few Rusev Hayes between myself and friends I'd feel honoured to share. I've been trying to get to them to support WrestleTalk, but sadly they are either not interested in wrestling anymore or are just part-timers during Mania season or another Big Four pay-per-view. Sort of like Brock Lesnar of fandom. A few years ago, my best mate and I had gone to see the Great American Bash. We had never gone to a pay-per-view before and we were excited to go. Sadly, this was around the time of the storyline of Edge, Vicky Guerrero and her assistant Love Triangle, so it wasn't the best pay-per-view. After the show, all my friends wanted to stay so they could meet Edge. Every car that drove by, they... Sorry, do you want to say something?
No, I was trying to think, what's the assistant? I was like, I don't remember it being a woman. Was it that Pedro guy? Was it something...
I thought Edge was the one that was...
Oh, Edge was the assistant?
No, as in, like, Edge was making out with her assistant behind Vicky's back. He was using Vicky Guerrero so he could still be champion because he wanted, like... Because she was general manager. I think that was the story.
Okay, I think I'm getting my affair storylines mixed up. Carry on.
Easy to do. Where was I? Every car that drove by, everyone would go, "Are you Edge? Are you Edge?" Someone finally answered, "No, I'm not." It was Zack Ryder. I laughed so hard about it. Fast forward a few years, and the same friend had gone out for drinks at a local bar one night, and saw a fellow with long spiky hair wearing a Zack Ryder t-shirt. Being that this is Long Island at the heights of Jersey Shore fame, the spiked hair look was not uncommon. And who doesn't love Long Island IZ? Calling out to the fandom in this stranger, he came up behind him and gave him a woo woo woo. The man turns around and it's Zack Ryder again.
No way!
Some people
wearing a Zack Ryder t-shirt
at a bar. Some people just can't keep their foot out of their mouth. Sorry if this ran a little long. I hope you enjoyed it. If you guys are interesting, I have 2 more stories involving me meeting Mick Foley at a costume contest.
Don't care. I don't care. It's got to be Zack Ryder. I want more Zack Ryder stories.
Wait up for this one. And the time my sister's boyfriend and his dad nearly squared up to the American Badass.
Okay, well, that one sounds good. Why not open with that one?
Well, because he wants to make fun of Zack Ryder, I guess.
Whetted our appetite there.
He certainly
for the
has.
The American Badass.
I've got two.
Zack Ryder, man, what happened there? That he paved the way for being the Elite.
Right, totally, yeah. His videos were so funny because they spoke to fans like you and I, because he was using terms like that. I remember the one shot of him trying to climb over this fence and the camera goes like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm trying to get over."
Brilliant. And yeah, this was around the time when I was learning all those words, and he had those excellent Dolph Ziggler promo bits where I was like, "Oh man, Ziggler's the best ever, hashtag heel." And the bit I remember was just a tiny skip, 10 seconds long, Zack Ryder drawing a big dollar sign, and he just turns to the camera and goes, "See, I can draw money."
Yes,
so
lovely.
Funny.
Such a good thing. Right, I've got another Rusev Hay here from Cameron Hartley. "Hello, lads. I've been a fan for an incredibly long time, since the WrestleTalk YouTube channel was uploading the Finn Martin report. But I've just never interacted with you through the comments or by email and such. I would become a pledgehammer, but times are tough, you know. Anyway,
he's
on with the story."
Fan.
Absolutely, but the best kind of fan. He's been here for a long time.
I think the best kind's the ones that give us money.
Well, he does by watching. I suppose the advertisers do. But anyway, on the WWE Raw in London earlier this year, I was walking through trying to buy some merch, which I ended up not because they didn't sell any Rusev Day t-shirts. Got to get all those Roman t-shirts. And that's the thing. While walking to my seat, I noticed someone very, very famous. It was you guys. The one thing that really caught my eye was Luke's hair. Sorry, Luke. I came up and said hi, and then very nervously asked for a picture. I was getting ready for the picture when I noticed that Luke had backed off to the side, thinking I didn't know who he was, which was confusing because Luke looked happier to meet the fan than Ollie did.
I'm always happy to meet everyone. I'm just, my initial facial reaction is terror. So it's a confusing time for me in those moments.
I got the picture and then walked away with the reddest face I've ever had. I'm sure you met a lot of fans at that show, so to specify, I was the one wearing the Enzo Amore jacket. Here's the picture we took.
Enzo Amore jacket?
Yeah, do you remember? We commented.
You want to get rid of that. Yeah.
I did say, that's brave to wear, because this was around the times before the allegations had been dropped.
I do remember that. That was in the foyer bit.
It was indeed. That's when you were trying to work out what to do with your parking.
Yeah.
And that's why we might have been, not like standoffish, but a little bit like confused when you came up to ask for a picture, because you were worried about where your car was parked.
And how much it was going to
cost
me.
And how much it's going to cost you.
Turns out I parked in the wrong place and it cost me loads.
So all's well that ends well, I guess. So thank you very much, Cameron, for that email. Just checking the timer. I've got enough time for a WrestleTalk Get Better.
Ooh.
From Connor's Cure Curran, who is one of our, Curran maybe, who is one of our pledge hammers.
Hey, he's Luke, nothing to do with Connor's Cure. It's
no,
just his name.
It's just his cure.
Just to clarify.
Hello, Luke, Brackett, and Ollie. Another pay-per-view, another update. Unfortunately, my weight loss has come to a plateau, and although they are of the highest form of flattery, it's quite disappointing. This is his WrestleTalk Get Better for this month. I had set a goal to be under 100 kilograms before my birthday, but unfortunately, I've been stuck at 104.5 for about a month now. So as a result, I decided to up my wrestling training. I'm going to be doing 2 days a week from now on, after previously training with the mod father, Flash Morgan Webster, last month.
Got his t-shirt up here.
I certainly have. Trying to sort out my diet by drinking more water, less soda, and eating less cake. I mean, those will be an issue.
You've got to cut out the liquid calories.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that should go.
Yeah. But as soon as you've said in the past, working in an office makes this hard. People just bring cakes in all the time, not to mention birthday cakes after a big wave of recruitment, new starter cakes, promotion cakes. Mm. My less than 100 goal has been moved to September 30th, the date of the London Progress Show in Wembley, where I hope to meet you both and share some good news. Let's hope Extreme Rules delivers tonight. It didn't. Swap Nation, better than Cultaholic. Regards, Pledgehammer, Connor's Cure, Curran.
We're coming for you, Cultaholic.
So that was a really nice email. So yeah, but absolutely, man. At least you haven't gone, with all that cake, you haven't gone any further upwards.
Yeah.
So plateauing is probably the best you could hope with all that cake around.
Plateauing happens as well. And you've got a plateau before you break through it. It's never going to be a steady line of progression upwards. It's going to be more like a sort of weird sloping step thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Where it'll go up and then it'll level off and it'll go up. So you just need to break through that. I can't recommend enough. It's the cheapest diet in the world. Fasting. Honestly, just download the audiobook.
Huh? Drove you insane.
Oh, man, that was a 3-day fast. I'm not saying do that. I'm saying, like, only eat between the hours of midday and 6 p.m. So you just kind of skip breakfast. And you can eat whatever, like the Butterfield diet. Bon, 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 bon. You can eat whatever you want. Birthday cake. Pork ruffs. Bon, 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 bons.
We've got...
Mystery meat.
Do you want a Poetry Corner submission?
Only if it's the one I think it is.
It is. I can do that one as well, but I wanted to read this one out as well.
Because
well,
I need
this
to
one
go.
Is from Adam Emond, who was the lad who submitted to us Haiku.
Ah.
So
yeah, we haven't debuted him yet, but he looks fantastic. Our Lewis Tillett has drawn him for us. The character
Man
design
Lou.
Looks great.
So Adam Emond sent an email in, although it opens by suggesting that we passed on Haiku, which we didn't. We did sign.
We totally signed him against some stiff competition.
Yes. So, Adam Emon has sent in his Poetry Corner submission. You made a mistake back when you passed on Haiku. He's coming for you. Get it? A promo from a crap gimmick, Haiku. And it's a haiku. Ollie Davis says, it's always funnier when you explain the joke.
Nice. That's good.
He's very good at these haikus, old Adam.
It's the perfect crap gimmick submission.
I know.
There was not an ounce of fat on it. It was ingenious.
Yes. Right, let's see. You do have to go, but we have still got 2 minutes left on the clock, so I am going to read out this last Poetry Corner submission. Hi, guys. I work for an up-and-coming wrestling website, one I think you'd really like. If possible, please give a shout-out to my boss, Ollie Davis, for all his really great work, and let him know I'll be around on Friday to write a new script. Having disappointed you with
Are we not allowed to say his name?
No, I'm going to. It's Randy Datson. He's one of our he's like one of our key writers for the website.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He really is.
What should we cook? He hasn't got a nickname, though. He needs a gimmick name.
He does. Well, I mean, I just call him Datson around the office.
I think the Swaft Nation should decide Andy Datson's WrestleTalk rebirth name.
Well, you've got some bit of time to email in, but we are going to record the Saturday episode tomorrow, so if you can try and get your email in submissions quickly, we can read some out on Saturday's podcast. Having disappointed you with my last email, this is back to Datson, I thought I'd make up for it with an actual poem. One I thought of about... Okay, you know what I said that he humble bragged the other week when he was like, sorry, I wrote the script while I was in a villa in Croatia?
Yeah.
Start it again here. One I thought up in about 7 minutes at 1 a.m. in a Croatian villa. Anyway, it's great, by the way. Thanks for asking. It's a poem that's called The Main Event.
Mm.
Every show should have a match that makes a brand a new star. Like ours. From early days in NXT, you can't believe they've come this far. Hours in the performance center, meticulously honing their trade. Dreaming of that shining moment when a new name can be made. Dozens fall at the first hurdle, but they still battle on. Through losses, pain, and injury, the dream is never gone. They've made it to the main roster. Triple H has given the nod. Meaning all of their heroes, even SmackDown commentator, Todd. Despite several setbacks, the crowd give them grief. There is no point there is no point they lose any self-belief. I'll try this again. Where am I? Years go... Deary me. Years go... It's a very long poem. Years go by, and step by step, they travel up the ranks, tagging with the Riot Squad in the 19th rerun of that match with Bayley and Sasha Banks. Mm-hmm. Squash that in there. But these matches are nothing. They know their final goal. That moment, that showcase of the Immortal, Wrestling Super Bowl. This is it, their moment to shine. Vinny's made the decision. They're heading to WrestleMania. Time to practice with precision. The crowd goes wild. They've done their job. New stars created. Their dreams are reality. An amazing feat. 8 stars if it's been rated. Unfortunately, it's all of my making, but dream I can and dream I will, my heart still full of aching. You can take your styles, your reigns, your Cenas, there's only one main event for me. I see it now, what a time to be alive, the main event of WrestleMania 35, Lana versus Eva Marie.
Nice.
He's also, I'm assuming this will be your next fantasy booking warfare topic. Anyway, I look forward to meeting you. See you soon. I look forward to meeting you one day, Luke. Lots of love, Andy.
I knew the joke finish was coming, but I thought he was going to like keep on building it up and say the pre-show. Watched by more people.
Yeah.
But Eva Marie versus Lana would be a great WrestleMania 35 main event.
Yeah, well, they both had WrestleMania matches, I think.
Yeah, and that 10-woman tag thing.
Yeah, it was like Total Divas versus the people who aren't on Total Divas. But we're going to call it an end there. So the end of this show. Thank you very much for listening. Ollie's off to do some business things, and I'm off to run this ship and make sure it doesn't crash, like Vince McMahon has trusted Triple H just to keep everything in cruise control.
You are my Triple H.
Thanks, man. But we'll see you on Saturday for the magazine review show. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.